questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Those who have been listening to this series of shows, they are quite familiar with the current that we have in this series of shows. We are trying to answer doubts and misconceptions that we receive from different questioners from around the world. And for that, we invite Islamic researchers, scholars from Qom Seminary Schools to help us with the answers. As usual, we have invited Sheikh Murtada Karimi, Islamic researcher and scholar from Qom Seminary Schools, to help us in this show. He is the guest of us in this studio. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for accepting the invitation. The question of the day that we want to ask it from the respected guest speaker and the guest of this show, Sheikh Murtada Karimi from Qom Seminary Schools, to tell us about the way to treat the disease of obsession. And, you know, some people are actually suffering from this disease, which is to some extent, and let's say to some extent, mental and spiritual rather than physical. So it affects some of the believers mostly while they are going to make their ablution or wudu, or they when at the time that they want to perform their salat or namaz. That is, they come to repeat some verses or some adhkar in namaz, and also the kind of doing their wudu is a little bit with some sufferings, and we need to help those brothers and sisters who are in this problem and suffering from such issues. So waswas or obsession is an illness that we can to some extent help these people who are afflicted with. This is the question that we want Sheikh to give us some guidelines how to control and how to actually react with this problem, in case even if we ourselves might be suffered to some extent, whether less or more, but to see what the treatment is in general from the tongue of narrations and Islamic teachings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, this disorder, which is known as OCD or obsession, first of all, the first point is that some people might think that Islam and the Islamic laws are the main cause for this disorder. But the point is that this is a disorder widespread in all over the world. And, yeah. I mean, it has nothing to do with any religion. It can be found, I mean, among those who do not believe in any religion. So we need to treat that as a kind of, as you rightly mentioned, disease or disorder. So like many other diseases, we can think of three ways of treatment. First of all, referring to physicians and using and consuming some medications. Alhamdulillah, nowadays, at least a group of people suffering from obsession through referring to, experts in this regard and physicians, and consuming some medications, they are able to get rid of obsession.
Yeah.
So for some people, it might help. And for some people, they need to refer to, psychologists and to have kind of counseling and psychotherapy. Alhamdulillah, today we have many ways which are suggested by specialists in psychology and counseling. Because it's not the topic of, it's not related to our program, I don't want to delve into that, but they give different techniques like a treatment through cognitions or through behavior, or sometimes they need to, these psychologists, they talk to the family of that person, how to help that person gets rid of that. Or, for example, they say that if you are suffering from obsession, then use a technique which is called a counter technique. For example, If you are you are suffering from obsession related to purity and impurity, you may not pay attention to impurity and go to the other ways. Mm-hmm. For example, if you get nervous as soon as you see blood, so one way is that if, for example, your nose is bleeding, do not pay attention to it. Just let it continue and do nothing. So, these are different techniques which are used by different psychologists, and we are not going to talk about that, just to give some titles. But what does religion say about that?
Very good.
First of all, as I mentioned, people should look at obsession as a kind of disorder and illness. So sometimes other people who see these people suffering from disorder, they do not have a good attitude toward that. This is wrong. We should consider that as a disorder, because sometimes people say that, okay, you made a wudu for once, that's enough. And sometimes we are very, angry. Our behavior toward these people is together with anger. But the point is that it is a kind of illness. That person cannot help himself or herself. So we need to look for ways. So, I encourage other people to help these people, not just to, because they themselves are not suffering from that. They see that, okay, it's very easy to get rid of this problem. No, this is not the case. This is a reality. This is an illness like any other illnesses.
Very true.
Now, first of all, I think for some people, a good solution might be referring to the books which are known as Risalat al-Dihal Masail, or the books of the Islamic laws. For some people, they do not know about the Islamic laws mentioned for, they are related to obsession. For example, religiously speaking, Islam says that if something was pure and now you have doubt whether it is impure or not, Islam tells you that it is pure.
Mm-hmm.
Although in reality it might have become impure, but if you say your prayer with this clothes, for example, your prayer is accepted, even if in reality this clothes has become impure.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So for some people it might help, because they do not know about all these Islamic laws. Or for example, Islam says that if you have you are suffering from doubts in prayer, after three times of doubt, for the fourth time onwards you shouldn't pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that even if you say the prayer improperly, but your prayer is accepted, because Islam says that after three times, then you have no other obligation. You need to ignore your doubts.
In the first place that you said, even if in reality it is impure, ignore it. What do you mean? While we are sure that it is impure, we have to ignore it?
No. The point is that those people who suffer from this disorder, and sometimes, for example, they try to clean themselves many times or clean the clothes many times. For example, they have a pure clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have a doubt, for example, whether a drop of blood or when they go to bathroom, whether that piece of clothes has become impure or not. They have a doubt. Now, Islam says that this is pure. Although in reality, I mean, blood has reached it. But because you are not sure about that, mm-hmm. it means that for you, this clothes is pure. And if you say your prayer with this clothes, it is absolutely okay. It is absolutely accepted. Mm-hmm. So we need to act upon what our religion asks from us. The religion tells us that this piece of cloth, which was pure, and now you have only a doubt whether it has become impure or not.
Ignoring the doubt is important here.
Ignore the doubt. Although in reality, it might have become, in practice, it might have become impure. But because you do not know about that, you need to treat it as pure.
Very true.
So for some people, it might help people if they know about all these Islamic laws. So why people are suffering from this disorder, why some people are nervous, because they might think that, okay, my prayer will not be accepted by God, my ablution, my wudu is not accepted by God. If they become assured that no, for the first time, when we are talking about doubts, from the fourth doubt onward, your prayer is accepted without paying attention to the doubts. So this is what we need to take seriously. And beyond that, we have no other obligation. So for some people, it's very important to know about all the Islamic laws mentioned here. There are some dua, some prayers, some acts of worship, which are mentioned in the narrations. For example, some of the adhkar includes La ilaha illallah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And if people have access to local great scholars, they may talk to them. In many cases, people when they refer to a religious scholar, especially the great scholars of spirituality, they can talk to them, and sometimes they can give them special adhkars and supplications.
Very true.
Which will help them, inshallah, to get rid of that.
Okay.
And
so up until now, we have heard of three solutions. One is to ignore whatever we have doubts about. And second, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with some adhkar. Let's say like, La ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallah, and such other adhkar. But the number is not important here, I think, as based on what Sheikh explained. And third, referring and meeting up with scholars and Islamic authorities, Islamic, let's say, imams in our vicinity and local imams of masajid.
Yeah. The other point is that those people who are suffering from disorder, they may change the condition.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example. So, for example, if you are a person suffering from obsession which is related to purity and impurity, in many cases, you go to a bathroom and then you may have the doubt whether your clothes has become impure or not. So one suggestion is that, okay, instead of using a white clothes, use a black clothes.
Or a dark one.
A dark one. Or, for example, your clothes is impure by blood, and after washing that, there is some remaining part of that blood, and still you think that you need to wash it more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Although Islam says that no, to that extent it's enough. So you may, even according to, some, you may die and you change the color of that clothes if you are suffering from that. So changing the conditions, if you see that if you change the color of the cloth, it may help, then you may do that.
Yeah.
Imam Hadi alayhi salam says and refers to a dhikr. He says that if Satan is, causing you suffering from obsession, just say, Amantu billahi wa rasulihi mukhlasan lahu ad-din. My point is that we need to take all these ways together, so inshallah we'll come to a good result. Those scholars who are expert in what we call it the traditional medicine,
mm-hmm.
they have concluded some ways through the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. For example, treatment by eating
pomegranate,
especially the sweet one, and also the olive oil, according to some scholars, and eating dates, apples, vegetables, according to some scholars, and who are expert in so-called Islamic medicine. They believe that it's mentioned in the narrations. For example, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, Jibreel told me that there are many benefits in eating dates. One of them is that it will remove, Satan from you, which leads to removing obsession as well. According to some other narrations, fasting is another way for some people to get rid of obsession. It's been mentioned in some narrations as well. And just let me share one narration in this regard from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says that when you fast and you are hungry, it will remove all the vain desires from you, and it would also help you to get rid of those what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam calls the satanic waswas or temptations of the Satan. So for some people, fasting might be another way. But as I mentioned, we should not suffice with only one way. We need to test different ways. Yeah. Referring to physicians, also counseling and referring to psychologists and psychotherapists, and also the Islamic and the religious solutions that I mentioned. And hopefully people can treat that illness as well, inshallah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh, for your recommendations and explanations on how to actually get rid of obsession and waswas as a disease or disorder. Thank you very much. Thanks again. And you respected listeners for your staying tuned and listening to us in Q&A Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن